Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me, and this is the first of our annual position preview episodes. These are some of the most, probably the most popular series we do outside of the season. We go in depth on each position group: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, edge, linebacker, cornerback, safety, special teams, and kind of preview what to expect from the coming season. Each episode, we'll talk about the biggest strength of the position group, the biggest question mark, a stat or player that we're going to be watching, particularly early on in the season, to determine, you know, the direction that given position group is heading. Position battles, if we don't discuss them, and then we each make a bold prediction for the room this season. So be sure to check all those out, as well as our stories. I also have position preview stories. We have tons of content coming from the fall camp press conferences over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Be sure to check it all out there. Since this is our first episode, of course, we're going to start with the quarterback position. In terms of the depth chart, feel like it's obvious at the top. Probably the most obvious at the top. J.J. McCarthy, starting quarterback. Jim Harbaugh has said that there will be a position battle for backup quarterback between Indiana graduate transfer Jack Tuttle, Davis Warren, Alex Orji. You know, there are some other players as well, but feel like to me, this is Tuttle versus Warren. But Steve, let's just start looking at what this room does well, what it excels in. The biggest strength of the room for me, it's leadership. I know a lot of people ran with the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen quote that Jim Harbaugh gave at Big Ten Media Days, kind of making fun of Harbaugh for, you know, just keeping expectations as high as humanly possible with those comparisons. But if you actually go and read what he said, I do think he hit on a very good point about J.J. McCarthy, that he's talented, he's athletic, he can make a lot of throws. But really what's allowing him to excel, and what allowed Michigan to excel last season with notable ease, was that J.J. has kind of that it factor as a leader, where he's pretty selfless. He's willing to sacrifice, whether it's sacrifice his body on a carry or be kind of a game manager when the run game's working or in practice. I think back to his freshman year when he was doing those 2 a.m. workouts with his teammates, you know, the ones who didn't necessarily play in road games. They get back to Ann Arbor and he says, "Hey, let's go throw. Let's go get our sweat in before we go to bed." And so it's, you know, and I think about some of the other things we have seen from him since he arrived in Ann Arbor. I think he's a quarterback who, you know, quote unquote, gets it. He has that it factor, and he understands what it takes to not just be a successful quarterback from a throwing, running playbook perspective, but also from a leader perspective. I think everyone I've heard from involved with Michigan football, whether it's on or off the record, really thinks highly of J.J. McCarthy. They love his positivity. They love that he can show genuine support and belief in his teammates. You know, it's not just saying the right things. I mean, he really believes in everyone that's in the huddle with him. And I think the players respond to that. And I think that really does make a big difference. I think that's something that, you know, Jim Harbaugh has been kind of looking for a quarterback with the it factor pretty much since he arrived at Michigan. And I think Cade McNamara had it to an extent, but I think J.J. McCarthy was able to take it to another level when you add in the talent that he has. So to me, I said the biggest strength of this room is leadership. And the fact that that a backup quarterback in Jack Tuttle is a former captain at a Big Ten school, you know, former four-star recruit whose career definitely hasn't panned out. But when you talk to him, you know, he's ready to be, like, in his mind, the best backup quarterback that he can be. Like, he's put the ego aside, right? He's at Michigan to be a leader, not necessarily, you know, get all the attention, not necessarily take J.J. McCarthy's job, but to be a veteran presence in that room. And then you talk to Davis Warren too. I mean, he's extremely mature. I think he's someone that obviously was overlooked in high school between COVID, injuries, leukemia. It seemed like he's definitely had to grow up early, I suppose. And I think that really shows in how teammates view him, how coaches view him, and then also how he carries himself in press conferences. So I'm really impressed by the leadership of this room. I'm sure there's lots of on-field stuff or tangible things that are strengths of this position group. But to me, starting with JJ and then working down, I just feel like this is a room that understands that no matter who's voted captain, QB1 is always going to be captain of that offense. And I think understands what that means and how to get the most out of their teammates. And you know, Michigan, I think they're big believers that you want your best players to be your hardest working players, which sounds really simple, but I think sometimes not every team can pull that off. But I do feel like J.J. McCarthy showed this offseason, you know, really his first healthy offseason where he's the starting quarterback, that you know, he can be that kind of player. So that's the biggest strength to me. Steve, what do you think is the biggest strength of this quarterback room?
I mean, leadership would have been, I think that's, and I'm not knocking your trade. I think that's the simple, like if we were playing Family Feud, that would have been like the number one answer. I'm just going to go with, I just think that J.J. McCarthy himself is the strength of the quarterback room, because I think there are potentially big things on the horizon for him this season. Of course, if you're Michigan, you don't want to lose the way you lost in the playoff last year to a team that I think we'd probably agree Michigan probably wins that game, what, 7 out of 10 times, if not 8 out of 10 times playing TCU on a neutral
field. I think that's
fair.
Even the way that game transpired, I think there were unorthodox plays or I don't want to say fluke because TCU earned the win, but
absolutely,
yeah, unconventional situations, fumbles on the goal line, multiple pick sixes, another goal line drive that got stalled. If they play, I mean, even TCU might say that, like,
right,
you know, they kind of got away with one and they earned it, but they also beat a team that probably they don't beat every time that they play.
Right. So I think, you know, I think the way last season finished in terms of like McCarthy really started to ascend towards the end of the year and then kind of had this, I don't want humbling because he's not like but humbling in like a performance type way, I think in a way almost sets the table for him to really have a big season. You know, you talk about leadership. There's, we've talked about who's going to be the third receiver, but you know, Michigan has two very, like, there's lots and lots of experience at the top of the depth chart at receiver. He's got an ascending tight end who really could contend for All-American status if he gets the ball enough. You have a Swiss Army knife like Donovan Edwards. I mean, you know, he's going to have a lot of weapons at his disposal to put up big numbers, but he himself is also a guy that is doing the lion's share of the work to produce those numbers. So I just think McCarthy himself is the strength, because we'll talk about what the weakness is for Michigan here in a little bit, but you know, that's why he was far and away voted the number one most important player. You know, the quarterback, yeah, there's almost no scenario where, like, when we do our, you do your top 25 most important players and we each vote on them, hard not to have the quarterback as like one of the two or three, if not top two, most important players. But I think for this season in particular, with the way the quarterback room is, I mean, he was far and away the number one most important player, because he's the one that gives them like a national championship type ceiling this season. So, you know, yeah, I'm just going to go with McCarthy. I totally agree though. Like, oh, like if I'd gone first, I probably would have said like leadership or just, you know, almost like the same thing, like experience. There's a lot of experience between him and Tuttle in particular, and Davis Warren. You, like you said, a lot of life lessons, but also on the field lessons. A kid who also really almost would be my pick to take that backup job, maybe, but we'll see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting battle, but yeah, I'm going to go with McCarthy.
Yeah, and I think to your point, and we've talked about it earlier in the summer, you know, if McCarthy makes all the leaps that he is physically capable of making, it's very hard to imagine Michigan not playing in the national championship game. On the other side, if McCarthy, say, missed the season, I think expectations would be significantly reset for the Wolverines heading into the season. So he is the key in a lot of ways to Michigan's success. Every position group will play a role, of course. They have tons of other great players, potential NFL draft picks, potential All-Americans. But I think, you know, it's Michigan has waited a long time for a quarterback with the blend of talent and leadership and potential that McCarthy has. So biggest question mark of this room, and I don't know, maybe people disagree with mine, but mine is can Michigan win a high-level game depending on its quarterback play? Because last season, I mean, even Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, they were eventually able to run the ball and really control these games. And I go back to a lot of those games that they won handily, but remember, I think there were a lot of games where it was kind of even at halftime. And then the offensive line and the run game really just started to take over in the second half. And my question is, what if that doesn't happen? What if a team is able to stop that? What if a team is big enough in the trenches and condition themselves well enough to hang with Michigan's run game for four quarters? You know, has McCarthy gotten to that stage where he can go out and win Michigan a high level game, hostile environment? I guess I'm envisioning like a win at Penn State, you know, one of those 23-17 type games. I feel like he's capable, and I do feel like the Ohio State game last fall was kind of the quote unquote breakthrough for him, throwing what, three touchdowns, several big throws. And then you saw against Purdue, three more touchdowns. TCU, he threw for 343 yards and two touchdowns. Like, it's certainly the two pick sixes added up. But Steve, I do think that this has been kind of answered. I still think it's a question mark to me, because last season on non-play action passes, J.J. McCarthy was 55th nationally in passer rating. And his accuracy in November, he completed just 50% of his passes in November when, you know, the winds started howling, the weather got a little colder. He was outside the top 100 nationally that month in completion percentage. His completion percentage on deep passes was 57th nationally, under 40%. And then in the red zone, this one surprised me a little bit. He completed just 55% of his passes in the red zone, 97th nationally. So to me, I think that a lot of J.J. McCarthy's success as a first-year starter, and that's something to note, right? This year, he will be able to grow from his first year, and he can show, you know, the film he watches, the way he progresses as a quarterback. But it did feel like in situations where Michigan needed him to make like a true money throw, I don't know that he was hitting at the same rate that he was when the run game was controlling things and he was kind of a complimentary piece. So that's a question for me, and it's also a question for NFL scouts. I think a lot of scouts are very intrigued by J.J. McCarthy as a potential first round prospect, but I don't think it's unanimous yet. And I think part of that is, can, if Michigan has a J.J., you need to go out there and win the game, you need to make those tight window throws in the red zone, you need to hit on those deep passes, You know, the weather isn't ideal, but it rarely is in the NFL. You know, you need to go and make those kind of plays too. So, you know, it's open to discussion, right? But to me, that's the biggest question mark is kind of those money throws, and then that situation where Michigan needs its quarterback play to win a game, and not like a Minnesota or Maryland, or like I'm talking about true top 10 opponents, top 10 defenses. That's something that I don't necessarily doubt that it's possible, but I do think that is still a question that hasn't been fully answered. For you with this quarterback room, what is the biggest question mark you have entering the season?
I'll take the easy one on this one and go with just the depth after McCarthy, right? I mean, I think in today's college football, it is kind of hard to have – you're not going to have a Cardale Jones at Ohio State type situation where your third string quarterback is capable of – I mean, most schools is capable of, you know, winning a national championship game for you. But I think with Michigan, I mean, the ceiling for their season overall really goes down in a big way if McCarthy, and I think more than a lot of the top 10 or 15 programs in the country. You know, you think of even a team like, let's say, Tennessee with Milton. Milton will start, but if he goes down, I mean, they have a five-star freshman in the wings who was, I think, the number one or number two passer in the country. But regardless, my point is Michigan does not have a young, like a young, polished major talent, at least that we've seen. Again, and we'll talk about that in the player we're watching most, but it's got to be the depth. It's just very, it's a very precarious position for Michigan if McCarthy even just gets banged up. You know, I'm kind of one of my big things, maybe you would agree, and I don't know, maybe if that's, is what we're talking about, like fall stuff too. No, I mean, this would be the right time to bring it up. Like, I'm kind of curious to see how much McCarthy plays in the first like three or four games. I mean, given Michigan should, you know, cruise at least for the first 3 weeks for sure. You know, did they not really rest him, but, you know, use that to get these other guys maybe more experience than what you normally would. I feel like we do kind of have this conversation every year and it never happens. The starter ends up playing like three, at least three quarters of the game. But,
right.
You know, I mean, don't we, I mean, even when we're in the press box, I remember saying like, you know, why aren't they going to take them out? They're up by four touchdowns. But yeah, I just think that, you know, the potential drop off from McCarthy to number two is to me a dangerous one for Michigan this season, given how loaded they look at pretty much every other position across the board.
Yeah, I think it certainly is something, especially, yeah, when you compare to other teams. It seems like the formula with the transfer portal these days is your best backup quarterback is probably going to be a freshman or second-year player who is highly rated. But Michigan quarterback recruiting did not work out in 2023 class. And I think the 2022 class, you know, Alex Orji, Jaden Dennegal are certainly, we've seen them in the spring game. We've seen, you know, the arms that they have and the athleticism that they have, but I don't know that they're necessarily in the running if JJ McCarthy goes down. I think it really is Tuttle versus Warren. And real quick, before we hit a break, Steve, because I think you and I have different views of this. I actually think I'm going with Tuttle as the projected number two quarterback, former four-star recruit. Didn't really work out at Indiana, but that is a very pass-happy offense. I think he has a lot of experience, and he's played against Penn State, he's played against Michigan State, he's played against Ohio State, and he does have three starts in the Big Ten under his belt. So I'm leaning in his direction. I like Davis Warren's game a lot, and I think both of them showed in the spring game, you know, that this isn't going to be, if J.J. McCarthy had to miss time or in these some of these lopsided games, Michigan will probably play both, even if it's in alternating games. But what do you like about Davis Warren's game that has you projecting him as the number two quarterback this season?
I guess it's really going back on what I just said about Michigan being loaded across the board everywhere else. You know, you do kind of wonder, and I'm not trying to say Jack Tuttle would be the safe choice per se, but there is a wealth of experience there, as you said. You know, and so it you know, maybe that's how Jim Harbaugh would look at it, as making the going with the deep experience in the Big Ten over a player in Warren, who I would say has a little bit of a higher ceiling than Jack Tuttle has. I mean, we, you know, Jack Tuttle, we've kind of seen what he can do. Now, granted, again, he's got a much different set of players that he's working with here at Michigan than he would have, that he did at Indiana. But, so I guess it really, to me, I guess maybe it would more depend on what is Jim Harbaugh thinking. Do you maybe go with a little bit of a higher ceiling option and a guy like Davis Warren, or do you lean on experience knowing you should have a really, really good defense, you should be able to run the football, and you have a veteran, a very veteran top two at the receiver position, right? So I guess if I'm putting myself in Jim Harbaugh's shoes, that would be maybe my prevalent lean and thought is which direction do I go there? But again, one of the things is we're talking about position battles. It's like, these are things that are probably not going to be decided in the first couple weeks of the season, just because you got to think these guys will have each one is going to have ample opportunity in game time scenarios to showcase what they're able to do. So this really is more about setting the table for conference season. And, you know, so this is not something I guess we would have an answer to before or at the end of fall camp. Right. I just feel like it'll keep going. And I also think that's another advantage for a guy like Alex Orji too. You know, the more time for a kid like him, the more reps, just the more opportunity, you know, cause you talk about a higher ceiling. He's the guy that has the highest ceiling of anybody on the roster right now, not named JJ McCarthy. So, you know, the longer this goes on for all of these guys that are competing for that spot, you know, I think it could potentially be a benefit for those guys who maybe do possess a little bit of a higher ceiling, when Tuttle may be the better choice. If you had to choose now, maybe you would go Jack Tuttle because of that experience.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, in making the case for Warren, Tuttle might have more college experience, more game experience, but Davis Warren's been around Michigan's offense and Michigan's program for a while. So he also has that built-in experience with his teammates, some of the chemistry with his receivers, and also just knowing the playbook. I would assume at this point they both know the playbook pretty well, but I do think there is some value in having been around the program for a couple of years. So I'm kind of with you. I don't think that this is – I don't know if they'll ever even officially – I know last year it seemed like they were kind of alternating who the backup quarterback was, and they might do the same thing this year. And
right. Wouldn't you be shocked if the depth chart's almost assuredly going to say or.
Right.
Like, I can almost see it saying Jack Tuttle or Davis Warren or Alex Orji or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
Harbaugh did say at Big Ten Media Days, he said there will be four players competing for the number two spot. And I guess in most of our minds, it's Tuttle versus Warren, but you're right. You know, maybe they keep all options open and see who emerges. And it might depend on the game, because I do think coming in up 17 against UNLV is a different scenario than down 7 against Penn State on the road, right? I don't know if Michigan would pick two different quarterbacks for those situations, but I do know that they're two very different situations and two very different challenges being asked of the backup quarterback in that situation. All right, we're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll each look at a stat or player to watch in the next month or so, and then we'll both make a bold prediction for the quarterback room this fall. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for waiting. As a reminder, we do have a full written story of each of these position group previews. It's very lengthy. I have tons of advanced stats that don't necessarily translate super well into the podcast. And we go a little bit more in depth. And in those stories, I do have a player to watch and a stat to watch. But for the sake of time, trying to keep these episodes a little shorter, we're just going to pick one or the other. So, Steve, who is your player or stat that you're watching, particularly maybe the first month of the season, to kind of gauge where this quarterback room is at heading into the Big Ten play?
I'm going to say Alex Orji, just because I think, and Michigan even showed it last year, he's a potential packages guy, right? I think there are certain things they can draw up for him that they might not be able to draw up for other guys on the roster. And so I'm interested to see if and how and or how Michigan utilizes him, you know, because he's humongous. I mean, he's built like a linebacker. He does have a cannon of an arm. He's just the most unique player at the position, you know, and like I said, I kind of still lean on and look back at the opportunities they gave him last year. So, you know, I almost think about a guy like Blake Bell at Oklahoma from however long ago, you know, who was like almost like a short yardage quarterback in certain packages, certain situations, you know, a guy that they could line up under center, get an extra yard or two, right? As we're wondering who Michigan would go to as far as running back goes in short yardage situations, maybe Orji could be the guy just as a quarterback instead, you know. What was it, Philly in the Super Bowl? Like, how many quarterback sneaks did they run in short yardage situations in the Super Bowl? I mean, like 7 or 8, you know, within 2 yards or something. So, I mean, teams are not averse to letting their quarterback do the work. And a guy of his size, you know, might be an asset in a situation like that. So, you know, again, much like last season, Michigan just has such a diverse group of skill sets across the board offensively. And I think at quarterback outside of JJ, he's that one guy. So interested to see if and how Michigan uses him early on in the season.
Yeah, he could definitely be an X factor. Because he's 6'3", 236 pounds, very, as you said, built like a linebacker. So everyone will look at his running, but also we saw in the spring game, he can throw. He's got a cannon arm, and I think I would assume accuracy, touch are kind of the next steps for him. But at the same time, you know, you could really deceive some defenses, and yeah, ultimately just he could be an X factor in a game, whether it's a touchdown run here or, you know, a deception play here or there. So I like that pick. For me, I'm going to go with a stat. And the one I'm looking at is that completion percentage on deep ball passes, 20 yards or more downfield. As I mentioned earlier in this episode, J.J. McCarthy completed 39.3% of them last season, 57th nationally. And throughout the season last year, in press conferences, we would often ask, you know, the players, like, oh, you know, what do you think of the offense's performance in this game or that game? And they always use the phrase, there's still meat on the bone. There's still room to be better. There's still plays that they would like to have back or redo. And I you know, looking back on last season, it really, I think the biggest one was those deep ball passes. And eventually they kind of came to fruition against Ohio State and Purdue and TCU. But I think if you ask J.J. McCarthy, you know, where he can grow the most, where he can go from what he is now to a Heisman Trophy contender, I think he would say it's those deep ball passes. He actually was good on deep ball passes from an efficiency standpoint, because he didn't throw a lot of picks. And when he did hit those passes, they really hit. I mean, he completed 22 passes of 20 yards or more air yards downfield, and he had 801 yards and 8 touchdowns on them. 22 passes. So I actually did the math, and basically, if he had completed 8 more of those passes, he would have thrown for an extra 300 yards and 3 more touchdowns, which, by the way, would have tied the Michigan record for touchdowns in a season. And it also would have put him in the running for most passing yards in a season by a Michigan quarterback. Just purely just 8 more of those deep passes. And I think everyone who saw Michigan last season can think of at least 3 or 4 passes that were just off or just too far, just short, or had just didn't quite have enough air on it. And so I think, to me, that's there's a lot of areas where J.J. McCarthy can grow, but I think that is the area he can grow with the most upward mobility in what this passing game can accomplish. Because this passing, I mean, Michigan's already going to have some of those deep passes open, and you saw it against Ohio State, but because teams are so focused on stopping the run and making sure that they're not getting bullied in the trenches, there are going to be some opportunities to complete some big passes downfield. And so I think, to me, that's like the next step. I think that's the stat I'm watching, and we'll see. I don't have a set number for September, but that is something I'm going to be watching, is if that connection's there in September, that increases the odds that it's going to be there in October, November, December, and maybe January. So yeah, to me, that's the stat to watch. All right, Steve, final thing we're talking about with this position group preview, bold prediction for the season. What do you got for this quarterback room? Bold prediction for the 2023 season.
I think JJ contends if not gets to New York for Michigan this year. I think, you know, Corum and Edwards will sort of feed off of each other in the running back position. And I think, again, you talk about Donovan in the passing game, Colson Loveland's emergence. He might be their biggest threat at tight end since Jake Butt. You have two seniors in Roman Wilson, Cornelius Johnson at wide receiver. I think the foundation is there for McCarthy to have a huge season. And you got to remember, he's a first-year starting quarterback last year. Super talented, a guy that there are huge expectations. And, I mean, they did go to the college football playoff. But a guy himself who's probably gotten a lot better even since the end of last year. So I think he's in the conversation to get to New York after like when it's time for them to decide who's going to go to New York.
Okay, there you go. And they send, what, 4 or 5 players to New York? So
it varies. Did they send 5 like last year, a year ago? Like it used to be 4, I thought, but I don't know. Maybe it's changed. I don't know.
Yeah, it might depend on how close 4 and 5 are, but either way, that's Steve's prediction. My prediction, I think J.J. McCarthy breaks 3 Michigan program passing records this season, which sounds like a lot, but I'm going to run through the 4 that I've kind of circled that I think are very reachable. The first one, the big one that a lot of fans like to talk about, single season passing touchdowns. Current record is 25. J.J. McCarthy threw for 22 last season, including 8 in the final 3 games. I know Blake Corum's going to score a lot, and I'm sure Donovan Edwards will score a lot too, but I think looking at Colson Loveland, Roman Wilson, Cornelius Johnson, A.J. Barner, I think this year's passing game can be a little bit more effective in the red zone. And I think ultimately JJ McCarthy is just better at those tight window red zone passes than he was this time a year ago. And I think there's more trust in Michigan's play calling. They trust the coaches, I should say, trust McCarthy with those throws a little bit more than last season. So I think he gets that one. Most 150 yard passing games. Weirdly enough, the record's only 12. McCarthy got 11 last season. I expect Michigan to play, not to spoil my season predictions, but I expect them to play more than 13 games, and 150 yards is really not that many. So as long as he's healthy, I would expect him to tie or break that record. And then the other two, I don't know if he'll get both, but completion percentage in a season, current record 65.3%. He was 64.6 last year, and that was with some very low completion percentage games in November. I think back to, I mean, even Ohio State, as many great plays as he made in that game, I think he only completed 50% of his passes. The Illinois game, the Rutgers game, the Nebraska game, I think those were all games where he wasn't completing a super high percentage of passes. I think that can change a little bit this season. And can he get 0.7% better at completion percentage? I think for Michigan's sake, I would hope so /assume so. And then the last one, lowest interception rate. Current record is 1.49%. That was actually Shea Patterson in 2019. McCarthy was 1.55% last year. I think he'll be even better this year. And he would have set the record last year, except he threw two interceptions in the Fiesta Bowl. So anyway, I don't know about the All-American. I think there's some things I still want to see from him and from Michigan's passing game, because Steve, I think you would agree with me on this. McCarthy can be an extremely efficient passer this season, but Michigan's going to have to throw the ball more than last year for him to be an All-American or be a Heisman finalist. I think part of that is dependent on the stats, right? It is ultimately a usage and stats game. And Michigan had 8 games last season where McCarthy completed 15 passes or fewer.
So a question, but on the best based off that thought, do you almost wonder then, does it sort of depend how often Michigan wants to put Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards on the field at the same time to an extent?
Yeah.
Couldn't it though? Because I don't know. We'll talk about it in the running back episode, but I just can't fathom with the way Edwards finished last year that Michigan is really going to want to have one of the, like, why have one of them on the bench? Like within reason. I mean, yeah, you don't want to run both. You have two great backs. You don't want to run both of them into the ground, especially early in the season. But I don't know, just kind of a thought there as far as how McCarthy's production could amp up if Edwards is on the field a lot while Corum is also out there.
Well, and I do think this is something that I've heard former Michigan players have noted this, that just because they wonder if Michigan's going to change its up 20 philosophy. You know, just because Michigan can run the ball 55 times and win a game by 40 doesn't mean they can't pass the ball. And there's certainly, I mean, there's reasons to run the ball, right? The movement of the clock, everything like that. But there are people wondering if Michigan starts to give JJ McCarthy some of those reps in one to help him and the passing game grow, since I think the run game is pretty well established with so many players returning. But then two, yeah, maybe juice up McCarthy's numbers, maybe help him get some awards, help show quarterback recruits that, you know, this is a place where a quarterback can be a Heisman finalist or be a first round draft pick. So a lot of this will be, I mean, that's arguably a stat to watch is pass attempts per game in the first 4 games. Cause I think you and I assume Michigan will win those 4 games pretty easily. And so do they have McCarthy throw 16 passes and call it a day, or do they have him get some of those reps? And that might play a role in what his final, you know, postseason awards and stats and everything look like. Steve, any last thoughts on the quarterback room before we wrap this one up?
Pretty much covered it. You know, I'm just, like I said, I think biggest thing is JJ McCarthy's got to stay healthy. What direction do they go? Veteran versus high ceiling, and you know, where does Alex Orji sort of fit in as far as a change of pace in certain situations? You know, I think interesting room, but a lot of pressure on McCarthy to stay fully healthy for sure.
Absolutely. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the quarterback preview episode. Stay tuned, or wherever you got this one, wait a day, and you'll get the running back preview as well. Next episode, we'll talk about a very loaded running back room. In our mind, the best running back room in the country. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.